This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time to grab your popcorn and your drink. Please take your seat and always silence your cell phones. The next showing of Place to Be Nation's Laughin' Theater with Andy Atherton is about to begin.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the theater, the Laughin' Theater, here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. I am your host, Andy Atherton, and thank you for joining me for another viewing. We got a great film tonight and a great guest. So let me bring him in. And it's somebody I am having the pleasure of speaking to on the show for the first time ever. He is known as the manager over here at Place to Be Nation pop, Mr. Todd Weber. Todd, thank you for joining me tonight for this viewing.
You are welcome. Thank you for the invitation, Andy.
All right. Awesome. Anybody who hasn't watched or listened to the show, if you're new, it's only my third episode. Basically, it's myself and a guest. We watch a famous comedy movie, and we just talk about it and give our feelings, our thoughts, memories, whatever, and hopefully, like our own little director's commentary, and hope you have a little fun with it. So, Todd, let's just go over your resume, so to speak. So, you are Marvel Age Podcast, Conversation
Yes.
Comics. And your
Yes.
brand new show, Binge Please. So if we have any listeners that haven't listened to any of those shows, why don't we give a brief little synopsis? Marvel Age Podcast, tell the listeners what that's about.
Yes, sir. Marvel Age is a show where four of us, known as the Sarcastic Four, of myself, Tim Capel, Russell Sellers, and the Grand Poobah, Nick Duke from the Hard Drama Fanboys, are going through the Marvel universe, not of the cinematic flavor, but of the printed flavor, comics printed and running starting from 1961, and we're going year by year. We started with one episode per year, and we've split it up now. We're doing two episodes per year because there's a lot of comics. We've gotten up to 1970, and we're starting 1970. I think by the time this episode airs, we will have started that year.
Awesome.
So it's a look, kind of an overview of comics that came out in that year and the trends and the hot artists and writers and characters. So that's a lot of fun. And we've been doing it for about a year now, which is pretty good.
Yeah, awesome. I have heard really good things about that. What about Conversation Comics?
Conversation Comics was my first entry into the comics podcasting world. I started this show about 3 years ago and interviewed a couple people in comics business and fans of comics, and talking about different topics such as the Marvel Cinematic Universe and Mego toy figures, stuff like that. And then Tim Capel, I invited him on, and we hit it off very well, talking about some of our favorite things, which were 70s and early 80s X-Men comics. And so we turned that interview into kind of a long-form series where we go through a particular run of the X-Men, but it's been a sporadic, intermittent schedule, but we're on our eighth episode together where we've done it, and this is our first one in about 12 months. We just published back in March, so it goes well, but it's kind of us breaking down. I've heard it called the between the sheets of comic books. So
are they four hours long?
Yes. We don't go that long, but we go about an hour and a half per actual comic.
Wow.
You know, the comic books that take you 10, 15 minutes to read if you're, moving your lips and going slowly. They don't take that much time. But, giving you insights between the panels and what the writer's thinking, what's the background of this character, why is this artist different, and so on and so forth. It's a lot of fun, and he and I are just very simpatico on our views of the X-Men mm-hmm. of the late 70s and 80s. So yeah, that's Conversation Comics, and boy, it's been good to get that back off the ground because it had been gone for a while.
Yeah, awesome. I am actually not a comics guy. It's not just I don't like them. I just had never really none of my friends growing up were into comics. I own only a handful, and they were G.I. Joe and Transformers comics. If I was ever going to add another show to my growing fleet, I would do. You know how we have Jeff Learns Wrestling on?
Yes,
I would do Andy Learns Comics because I need like to start at like you know entry level comics 101 kind of thing. I think to get to learn about this stuff.
You and I are about the same age. Were you a big fan of the G.I. Joe cartoon when it came out?
Yes, very much.
Do you remember the first miniseries they put out? Mm-hmm. Were you watching that? Okay. I think we're gonna have we're gonna get along just fine.
Were they going after those elements or something like that? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually own. Okay. Here are the 12 comic books I own. I own G.I. Joe Order of Battle, which is the 4 series.
This character.
Yeah, the profile. Like, yeah. And I have the Transformers universe, which is same thing for Transformers. Uh-huh. And then I have the 4-episode. G.I. Joe and Transformers
versus
comics.
Transformers. I remember those. Yeah.
I have it. I don't know what condition they're in. They're not. I am nowhere near Brody from Mallrats at all. So I know they're in a bin somewhere. So I will break them out one day and I will, you know, take pictures and show you guys. So like, I actually do own a comic book. But yeah, I grew up watching cartoons like Super Friends was one of my favorite. I was more of a DC fan growing up because of the cartoons. No, it's just because of the cartoons I grew up on.
I'm laughing just because that's my background too.
Yeah, I know you're a big Aquaman guy, and so I just couldn't get how sometimes the DC couldn't get it right. I mean, I love the original Batman movies with Keaton and all those guys. Well, you know, not all the ones, but you know, I didn't really get into Marvel until really the MCU started coming around. So
yeah.
You know, I'm eager to learn. There's just only so many hours in a day. You know what I mean? And then you
boy, do I.
Yes. And then also you have a brand new show here on the Pop Feed, Binge Please. And I've told you this several times. I love that title, by the way.
Thank you.
We have a little pull back the curtain. We have a little a sheet that we list all of our shows. And, you put it on there, but you didn't put on that it was your show.
I put nothing.
Yeah, and we're all. I'm like, who's? I'm like, who did that? I'm like, that sounds like a Jenny thing. It wasn't. But tell everybody about Binge Please.
Yeah, Binge Please is a new Place to Be Nation Pop Network show where we take a look at all the streaming services: Amazon, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Hulu, and Netflix, and others, HBO Go, HBO Now, and talk about the news, the features, the devices. And then I bring in somebody on the second half of the show and we review a topic. So the first episode I had myself on and I talked about Pen 15 on Hulu. And in my second episode, I had Jordan Duncan on and we talked about Abducted in Plain Sight.
Ah, yes. JD, the first two-time guest of Great Debate, a good guy. And I'm going to check that out as soon as I can.
Have you ever seen Abducted in Plain Sight?
No. But I've heard about it. I think I think my girlfriend may have watched it. But yeah, as people know, I do work in TV, so a lot of times like I come home and it's like I need to do something else. But I've binged like everybody else does, like Stranger Things and I just finished the Kaminsky Method. Really, really.
Oh, fun. Yeah. Oh, right on, Alan Arkin.
Oh, yeah. I love him. I can't wait to do some Alan Arkin shows, movies on there. I have one in the queue. I won't tell what it is. Okay. But, yeah, I look forward to listening to Binge Please. It sounds like it's going to be a hit show on the Pop Feed. Something we've needed.
Does that Alan Arkin movie in the queue, does it involve the leads, the good leads?
The good leads. Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I think I'm trying to remember now.
is Third Place You're Fired?
No.
I'm speaking in code here. All right.
No, it's actually not. I don't think it's that one. No. You want to be like Serpico, but you're more like Fish.
I'm pretty much more like Abe Vigoda and Fish. Yeah.
Yes.
Just luck into it.
Okay. Awesome. So, Todd, why don't you tell everybody what movie we're going to watch tonight?
Well, the movie that I volunteered to watch here on the Laugh-In Theater is Swingers, comedy from Doug Liman, 1996, starring Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn. I picked this for show or this movie for many reasons. It kind of, although I was not as cool and as happening as these guys, this definitely characterizes a portion of my life, an era of my post-college life. So very funny film, launched a lot of careers, was very trendy, and we'll talk about it while we watch it here.
Yeah, yeah, Swingers was great. It came out, and it was probably in the height of when swing became cool again.
Yeah.
You know, Brian Setzer and Big Bad Voodoo Daddy and Cherry Poppin' Daddies and all them.
Yeah, there's one other, and I can't remember their name. They had In the Afterlife. Who was that?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
now you're going to make me pull up Criscolo.
I know.
And Google it.
They were an interesting. They were
The Squirrel Poppin' Daddies. Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Squirrel Nut Zippers.
I didn't even have to look that up. Fun fact, I was actually a DJ in the 90s. So I remember playing this music in some of the places I worked. So, yeah.
It was a big movement in the late 90s. So,
yeah,
for a while, for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, the only time we ever played swing was when we did that Jive Bunny mix called Swing in the Mood. That was the only time we played it. But Todd's a big music guy, if those of you who are unfamiliar with Todd's work here. Music is his life, basically, correct? For the most part.
That's true. Yeah, I teach music for a living, and I'm in four bands in around Sacramento area.
Awesome, awesome. So you saw this, did you see this in the theater, Swingers?
I did. I took my then fiance to see it at our local, indie theater because all the Miramax films played there. And I tried to just see movies like Usual Suspects and stuff of that era. Big Night, that era of indie 90s indie comedy, and especially Miramax because they were, made of gold. Everything that Harvey picked at that point was just awesome, it seemed. So I saw it in the theater and really enjoyed it. And then when the DVD came out, and I think that was one of the first things I got on DVD. Yeah, I may be misremembering. It may have been a VHS thing that I double dipped, but I watched the DVD over and over and over. I bought it.
Yeah.
Like from Tower Records right away because
Tower Records, RIP.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty cool. Tower was a Sacramento company
that
kind of expanded, became worldwide. Mm-hmm. There's still a Tower Records in Tokyo, of all things. But yeah. So yeah, I have very vivid memories of this show, this movie, and watching it with friends to back in the 90s and kind of like saying, oh, that's you. That character is your characteristic.
Yeah, there's always like it's a group of friends and everybody kind of like everybody has a friend like this guy or that guy in their group. So yeah, it's a fun movie. I'm really glad you picked it. I'm looking forward to watching it and talking about it with you. But first, let's pause and let's just talk about Place to Be Nation for a moment, and we'll start the movie. So here on the pop feed that Todd and I both kind of live on, there's a little something for everybody here. Not sure how current. You know, we may be, but, you know, there's going to be Hard Traveling Fanboys, Nick and Greg. They go off the page to check out Marvel's Secret Rising Warriors. The NBA team guys, Adam and Andrew, they'll be carrying you through March Madness. Jason Sherman was on the latest episode of Sunday Groove for a look at the albums released in 1998 to 2003. It's a part two, so there was a lot of cliffhangers between that and part one. Myself, Mr. Scolo, J.R. Cino D'Amato, and Dr. G continued our trek through time. We have a new year in pop that's on the feed for 1974. 1975 will probably come out, probably sometime in May. Todd, you were with Ben Morse. And
I guest starred on Marvel Age Masterclass. We talked about 1969 Part 2, kind of closed it out. It was a good time. Ben is a great comics historian and brings a lot of knowledge and energy to his love of Marvel. So yeah, great show if you're into comics.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I was on a main event with Ben. Ben's one of my gets. I still have yet to get Ben on a show. Ben, if you're listening, hit me up, man. I want to have you on. You sound like a good dude. Come on. And then
finally, he's a hard guy to pin down.
Yeah, some people are. Him and Chad. tough guys. And then you were joined by Tim on the latest edition of Conversation Comics to look at the Uncanny X-Men number 135.
Yes, Dark Phoenix. We were talking about how Jean Grey became the Dark Phoenix and why that's a bad thing. And we're trying to get that story out before the Fox X-Men movies complete their saga with their own Dark Phoenix movie. So we've got about 4 issues left to go and about 3 months before that movie comes out.
Yeah, well, you get cracking.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
All right. Over on the PTBN Wrestling feed, there's a newest Place to Be Nation podcast. Was JT Scott and Jennifer Smith taking a look at the February 1969 Madison Square Garden house show.
Justin, 1989.
Yes, sorry. And JT and Chad.
Very different show.
Yes, it was. JT and Chad returned with a brand new Wrestling Warzone podcast, digging into the Christmas night 1995 edition of Nitro, featuring a great Randy Savage versus Ric Flair world title match. And then, speaking of Ric Flair, on episode 3 of Talking WCW, Tim, Jenny, and Greg examine 3 matches from the catalog of the legendary Ric Flair. And be sure to check out PlaceToBeNation.com as things are heating up, getting back up and running as March and April roll on, and content will be picking up in the days and weeks to come. And then finally, be sure to give a like to the PTBN Greatest Candy Tournament Facebook page. You can participate in our daily polls. Every day, 4 new matchups go up. We're getting through the rounds. We should be in the second round, I want to say, when this show drops. We're going to crown the champion on Easter Sunday. So get those votes in. Todd, do you have any candies you're pulling for in the tournament?
I'm kind of a Reese's stan, as they say. That's all I want is the combinations of chocolate and peanut butter. And I am there are some M&Ms as a dark horse. Mm-hmm. I do like M&Ms too, but the classic Reese's peanut butter cup and wouldn't it be great if it came down to that and Reese's Pieces?
Well, it could in the Elite Eight.
Yes, not in the final.
No. The way we have designed the tournament, it's 4 regions, candy bars, chocolate candies, which actually where Reese's Peanut Butter Cups landed because it's actually not a candy bar. Then we have sweet treats and sugary snacks. So it's going to be a chocolate candy versus a not chocolate candy, like your Starburst, your Skittles, like Twizzlers. One of those will make it to the finals versus everybody thinks it's going to be Snickers and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups in the final 4. So,
but, you know, that's why you play the games. That's why you have the matchups.
That's right. So go on there and, you know, like it, vote, and have fun, everybody. So let's get this show on the road. So those of you, if you're going to be watching along with Todd and I, we are paused right after the Miramax logo comes up. You hear some crowd sound. And then in white letters in a script font, it says Miramax Film Presents. So that's where we're going to start at. So, Todd, are you ready?
I will be in just about 5, 4, 3, 2. I am ready.
All right, ready? Did you hit play?
Script font. Oh, yeah, we're good.
All right. Let's
go for it.
I hit play. Here we go. In association with Independent Pictures. All right, just to make sure we're lined up.
Ah, yeah, Independent Pictures. Whatever happened to them?
All right, we got the nice still shots here. Doug Liman.
Doug Liman, great, great director.
And amazingly that he went from this little indie film that they did some guerrilla filmmaking, and now he went on to the Bourne franchise, yep. Right? And then he did, didn't he do Edge of Tomorrow? Did he do Edge of Tomorrow also?
I don't think he did that one. He did Go, which was the next thing I think I saw him in. Mm-hmm. And I'm stalling for time while I try to find. I just know that he's still working, but he does big action, which is crazy.
No, he did compared do it. He did do Edge of Tomorrow. Actually, I called up his IMDb.
What a great movie!
Yeah, I that movie suffered from bad marketing, I think, bad title. Bad title. Yeah. So
and it just got picked up for a sequel. Finally.
Oh.
Finally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the best Tom Cruise movies ever made.
Mm-hmm. A lot of, you know, humor in there, I like, with Tom. He, you know, he always finds a way to pull that in. So, okay, so we're watching the movie that we're actually watching, though. We're still going through the credits. We have Swing Music was big, as we said.
Huge. And you see the various swing band stills and bartenders and the bar scene. This is about singles in the 90s, really, is what it is. Late 90s. Not the grunge era that you saw in the movie Singles, but, you know, the club going, dressing up. I just saw a still of Tower Records.
Yeah. Yeah. The this is the L.A. scene, the not Seattle. Yeah.
So a lot of industry people in this, a lot of people who work as waiters and waitresses during the day or during at night, and they try to get jobs as extras during the day, or they've got their casting agents and they're auditioning for these roles. And you do get a little peek into the industry, and this is very autobiographical of Favreau.
Yeah, I'm a big Favreau fan. Now a nice shot of LA as we pan down.
That theme song, or that song that was going on, that's Dean Martin, right?
Yeah.
You're nobody till somebody loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Dino.
Yeah. I love, oh God. One of the best CDs I have is the Rat Pack Live at the Sands.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. Peter Lawford.
Mm-hmm.
So we enter, what's going on? We have a conversation in a diner. There's lots of diner conversations in this. Who are we looking at here?
We got John Favreau's Mike, who was our main character. And then we have Rob playing Mikey played by Ron Livingston. And they're, I guess Mike had moved out to LA first. And now Rob just moved out there. So he's really new on the scene. And Mike is Mike is pining over the woman who he broke up with. She just left him, I think. I believe.
I think so. I think she dumped him, but he still thinks it was his fault or something he could have done to be better about it.
Yeah.
He just can't get over her.
Yeah, that's basically the whole movie. He's pining and he just can't get out of his own way.
Definitely.
You know.
And that's his arc, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's the rub.
There's the rub. Literally, that's exactly what we're talking about. He can't get out of his own way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we talk about the same thing all the time. But that's it. That's the theme of this movie. And, you know, even though I saw it in the theater with my then fiance, by the time it came out or DVD or the next time I saw it, I was single again. So I was Mikey. And that was my guy. And so all my friends were trying to cheer me up all the time, because all I would do is be brooding about why it didn't work out with such and such. What's your name? And we didn't have email. We didn't have texting. We had the voicemail machine.
And we have
not the voicemail. I'm sorry. The phone recorder.
Answering machine.
Message at the tone.
Yeah. So he's going through his messages. It's Vince. First time we hear Vince Vaughn as Trent. Kind of introduced a whole. This was Vince Vaughn's first
major. This is the first time we'd ever seen him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and he blew up right after this. I mean, I think he got Lost World off of this movie.
He stole, I don't want to say he stole the movie, he stole every scene he was in.
Yeah.
It was fantastic and hilarious. Just hilarious.
And his vernacular also, just the way he talks. You got your baby. You got a baby. Come on, your money, baby, your money. Everybody was saying that then. So remember?
Didn't know it. Yep, we all started saying it.
Yeah.
Everybody affected brought these affectations on and started saying every little phrase, every little joke from the movie. And you know, we started dressing in this retro style, which is pretty funny.
Yeah,
the bowling shirts and the slacks,
with
penny loafers, or. You know, or Doc Martens, special kind of Doc Martens, the, what do you call it, the stitching on them.
Yeah, this is a lot different from where I grew up. I grew up in the suburbs, suburbs of New York City, so, you know, we didn't, this really was not, this was foreign to me, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
You know, these.
No, this absolutely was, not in L.A., I didn't do any of that stuff, but I lived a very roommate lifestyle because I just hated apartments. I had a bad apartment experience in the early 90s and kind of swore that I'm never going to do that again. It just wasn't compatible for me. So I decided I was going to become other people's roommate. I'd be the guy that rented the room from people instead of being the guy that had the rooms rented, you know, owned the responsible one. I wanted to just be the other guy. And it worked out. I got a really good roommate out of the whole thing and stayed with him for years until I got married.
Yeah, I mean,
but yeah, this is the actor's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I basically, I never had a roommate, actually. I just went from my parents to my then fiance at that time as well.
So, did you live in a dorm for college?
Yeah, first 2.5 years I dormed because I went to the University of Hartford. And then I transferred back home and I lived at home. I was a commuter. So I had the dorm life for a couple of years.
Right on.
So yeah, here they are.
They go to Vegas.
They're going to Vegas.
Trent.
It's so funny. I hear that drive to Vegas, like you're so psyched, but it's actually like, what is it? Like 3 hours, 4 hours, something like that?
It's longer than that. It's about 3-4 hours.
Wow.
And yeah, I just drove to Vegas from Sacramento myself this past summer. There and back, and I split it up. I decided to stay in Bakersfield. What a terrible decision that is, was to spend any time in Bakersfield. But we got a hotel and stayed the night, and then first thing in the morning drove out to Vegas and meet my family at their timeshare. But yeah, the LA decision to drive to Vegas is a common one. Someday there will be a better, faster way, you know, with a train or something. But
yeah,
a lot of people do that in the middle of the night because you can do it. It's like up here. We can go to Tahoe on the fly. You can decide to go, drop your things, go to Tahoe. I don't know how far away you are from Atlantic City. Probably quite a ways.
About right? 3 hours.
How about Mohegan Sun, though?
From New York City, Mohegan Sun's about I'm an hour and a half. So from where I grew up, about 2 hours. Yeah, Mohegan Sun, Foxwoods, they're close to each other. Yeah, I mean, now they see they're like all, like, you know, okay, we're psyched, and now the drive is getting to them, and they're starting to like, you know, fall down. Nope, there's the bright lights of Vegas. Yeah, it's funny.
Just like this.
Yeah, I've been to Vegas twice for bachelor parties. Didn't drive in, I flew in, but
right. Flew in.
I had glimpse
you get of it lit up.
Mm-hmm. I actually have a buddy of mine though who won't fly. He's got an inner ear thing or something, and he drove out to Vegas the second time. It happened between the two trips, and he wouldn't fly the second time, and he drove. It took him a couple of days,
wow.
And he met up with us. Yeah, Caesar's Palace right there. But speaking of Atlantic City, there was one night, it was like, I don't know, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and a couple of my fraternity brothers was like, oh, let's go to Atlantic City. Literally jumped in the car like 1, 2 in the morning, got to Atlantic City at 5 and just started gambling and stayed till like 11 and drove home. Ugh.
Wow.
Painful night.
Yeah, I mean, in LA, you can do that for Vegas.
Yeah.
I can do that for Tahoe But yeah, it sounds like a great idea at the time. One year, in I believe it was the year 2000, my best friend and I were staying at my parents' timeshare with my family, but I drove, and I drove my convertible Mustang down.
Uh-huh.
And so we had the Swinger soundtrack, so we were driving around on the strip with the top down with the Tony Bennett song that you hear, Baby, What I Wouldn't Do With Plenty of Money and You. It was a great moment straight out of the movie. I had to... It was one of the best moments I can remember from that era. You know, we just keep talking about it.
Yeah.
You're so money.
Yeah. So they're here in Vegas and they decide, Trent says, let's go to old Vegas. And literally these young guys in suits walk around and there's not another person in there. I think that may be under like 60 in this whole casino. And it's like kind of empty too. There's like no action going on. They're going through and he's like, oh, look, all the beautiful babies. Come on. He's like, this is the skank shift.
Skank. Beautiful honeys. Man, he's just great. There she is already.
Mm-hmm.
He's Trent. Trent can just turn on the charisma and he hooks up right away. It's already started.
And Favreau's that one, you know, Mike is the one that gets embarrassed so easily by everything. He's like, don't do that.
You know how this is accurate. They were starving actors and look how skinny they look.
I know. Yeah, Favreau's ballooned up and down. Vince has gotten, you know, big and he's not really gone down. But yeah, Vince looks nothing like he used to. Oh my God.
No. No, he looks like a heroin addict or something here. He's so thin.
Yeah.
But he just I don't know. He looks I guess healthy but puffy now.
Yeah.
Favreau has gone up and down a lot over the years, like Happy Hogan. If he's got an Iron Man movie coming out, he'll lose a little bit.
And there's Vince Vaughn's father sitting at the table. Vernon and
the Bella Twins.
Vernon Bella Twins. more look like Carrie Ann and Nava, but
yeah, you're right. Yeah, you got kind of a Polynesian look here,
yeah.
But they are twins.
Yeah, so he's like, "Come on, put the money down."
Oh, God, this is so cringy. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about. This is probably the beginning of cringe humor for me, where things are so uncomfortable. And I know movies like The King of Comedy, stuff like that, but this is the first time I think I recognized it and felt bad, but you can't look away. Yeah. It's not funny, ha-ha, but it's so uncomfortable.
Where he's trying to
look
cool.
Oh, my goodness, look at the old money.
Yeah, he's trying to look cool and put down $300. And, and he gets three fucking chips. And his face is like, what's that?
One hand. Oh, this is so cringeworthy.
Minimum $100 table. Maybe you'd be more comfortable at one of our lower stakes table.
He looks at the old ladies. Well, not old ladies, but one old lady and kind of
a biker and
the seedier side. Yeah, look at her. She looks like Victoria Paris. Oh, you don't know who that is. Just look up Google Victoria Paris, but not at work.
Okay. Now he starts to show off his little scotch knowledge here.
Oh, my God. It's so cringeworthy. Just shut up. Act like you've been there before.
I know. It's like scoring a touchdown. Actually, and he gets shit cards.
But that's why it's essential for me, is because I've been there. Maybe not like that, but I can rewatch this.
Oh, actually,
I know what's going to happen. I can laugh about it now. Oh, God.
Yeah, you got double down. Always. You got 11. Yeah, always double down 11. And the fact that he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's sitting at the anchor seat, too, which means you're going to piss off the whole table if you make the wrong
choice. Yep, your key to everybody else's hands. Look at them; they're just like rolling their eyes at him. Oh God!
I mean, I would have doubled down too. He's the dealer showing it too.
Yeah, but that was a lot of money back then. Yeah. Oh, dealer 21. Oh no,
16. 21. And he's just like, shit, that's 2/3 of my money. And now they're at the crowded $5 table, whatever it is.
They're back on the cheap table, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those cheap
tables. Jim Neidhart.
Vince, and then there's, I think that's Favreau's grandmother who is on the end. Wow. 15, I don't know what to do here. She looks like, she actually looks like one of my grandmothers.
She's on the anchor seat, yeah.
Yeah. And the guy next to her is like making the anvil's making the hand gestures, and she wins. She gets 21, and everybody's clapping. And Favreau's just looking at Vaughn, going, "What the fuck?"
I think he's just staring at him. Double down. Oh, she gets comped.
Yeah, she gets a comp breakfast.
For the first time, I had not a ton of money, but playing at Caesars, you know, and staying at the craps tables for just a little while, acting like, oh, they must know us here. We're gonna get comped something, baby. We're gonna get. You know, they didn't get anything, but we were there for about 45 minutes and just acting like, you're entitled to it at that point.
Yeah.
Whereas you're lucky to get two drinks over 45 minutes at some of these places.
Yeah.
Actually, Bellagio is my favorite place to play.
Yeah.
I do like Bellagio.
I haven't been there since 2006. So but, I remember going for in 2000, and a bunch of guys that we didn't see like the entire weekend, basically. They're like, yeah, we got drunk on $3. They would sit there in like in the slots area and pretend like they're about to put some coins in, order a drink, and then wait for the waitress to come back, then throw another coin in there, get their drinks, and then they would start like literally casino hop. Cause you can, in Vegas, you can walk out with a plastic cup. You can go just walk out with your booze. And now the waitress finally hunts him down for that stupid scotch. A couple high rollers, can you believe it?
Who's the big winner? You are. You're the big winner, Mikey.
Oh, your money.
And Vince Vaughn just steals this movie. Mm-hmm. Steals it. So funny. And he's the absolute opposite of Favreau's character. Mm-hmm. Gosh, they look so emaciated. It's crazy.
There's a 50 cent
piece.
Thought
that was normal back then.
I know.
Oh, God, this is a dick move.
I know.
And yet, oh, man.
Is there anything that Trent does in this movie that's not a dick move, though?
The stuff at the diner later on is the best.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. he gets it. But he usually ends up being the winner. Of the thing, it goes well for him, but he is—it's his personality. He's I'm trying to think if there's a Place to Be Nation equivalent of Trent.
Oh, God. A fast talker? Kind of a...
Yeah, I want to know what D'Amato was, like, at age 24.
Oh,
like God. Trent with Billy Joel. I don't know.
So, I'm just popped in my head. From, like, a story or a screenwriter perspective, who's the antagonist in this movie? Is it Trent? What'd you think? Even though it doesn't seem like it?
Well, they do have a flare-up later, and we'll get to it.
Yeah.
I think the antagonist is Mikey's not being able to get over her.
Yeah.
That, to me, is.
Yeah.
You know, it's abstract, but it's Mikey's, not subconscious, but his mental block.
Yeah. This is also one of those movies, though, that you see it, and if you haven't been to Vegas in a while, you kind of get that itch.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I've actually never been to Old Vegas. The two times I went, we basically stayed on the strip and hitting all the big ones over there, Bellagio, Caesars. I stayed at Mandalay Bay once, and the other time was Excalibur. Uh-huh. Oh, they get their drinks. And
yeah.
No, go ahead.
That's a little better looking cocktail waitress than I'm used to, and especially at a place like that.
And on that
Fremont Street, you're not going to get. Yeah, but. You know, cocktail waitress with a heart of gold, probably trying to imagine her story.
Mm-hmm.
See, that would be an underrated sequel. Whatever happened to Trent's one night stand from Swingers with the trailer park?
Yeah, they're sitting there smoking their the big stogie.
Smoking a cigar in the coffee shop.
Yeah. Well, Favreau's a big cigar guy.
Well, you go there, people everywhere still smoke inside. You can still smoke pretty much anywhere in Vegas.
Did you ever watch...
Except for your hotel room.
You're into the indie stuff. Did you ever watch Dinner for Five on IFC when that was on?
Oh, yeah, I loved that.
Oh, one of my favorite shows. I have the entire series on DVD.
Right on. I remember... Somehow I have them, but I don't... I think I might have LimeWired them all. Oh, this is great. This is great. Trying to be clever. It says here breakfast anytime. So he thinks...
I'll have pancakes in the Age of Enlightenment.
He's working out his material. Cause he's a stand-up comedian, too. That's a thing. And so she no-sells his joke.
Yeah.
It's like he's trying to be clever, trying to be witty, score points with the waitress, and act, you know, get his material over... And she totally no sells it. It's great. And he talks her down like, oh, like she's going to get an obscure philosophical reference.
I had friends of mine who were always like that, but they were not like trying to be clever. They were just kind of dicks about it. My favorite was,
yeah.
Oh, wait, here's the payoff though. Hold on, Voltaire. She says to him, and she actually got the joke.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, no, that's great. First time I saw that, that's the best kind of joke for me is the unexpected. You had no idea that was coming. Oh, look at us in a tiki lounge. Where is this?
This is somewhere. This has got to be off the strip. And then look at these.
Yeah, things. This is not a traditional casino.
Mm-hmm.
But the...
it's Dorothy.
The seas are parting for our swingers. I like this. Mm-hmm.
And now the waitress has her friend Lisa, who's dressed as Dorothy.
Right. The MGM was once an Oz-themed casino.
Yes, that's right. Grand. With the lions and everything.
Mm-hmm. You had a big lion outside. You had lions inside in a little glass enclosure. You could watch them. Now the lions are at the where Siegfried and Roy were, the Mirage.
Mm-hmm. And they're all sitting there, like we all know what everybody's meeting up for. You know, two guys from L.A. in Vegas for the night. We all know who's what everybody's looking to do here. They're making small talk with some uncomfortable pauses.
And to me, it's like they're overthinking things so much, and that's what it is. You know, they lay out these elaborate plans, what we're going to do. Do I tell her this much? Do I tell her, try to tell a joke? Now he's talking about booking agents and like, he's assuming that it's being wasted on them. Right.
And she,
you know, he's trying.
And she calls him out as bullshit.
And yeah, Trent's great.
Trent's just sitting there going, shut the fuck up. Like with his eyes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great acting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just launched careers. Look, producer went over very well. That's all you had to say.
Yeah, and Trent actually was a child actor.
And Vince Vaughn was?
Yeah, well, his character Trent was. I think that's right. Yeah, that's where he. That's probably why he has so much confidence because he's been in the business. And now they.
I'm trying to think of
the Airstream.
Oh my goodness! So yeah, it's my I guess it's a trailer park,
and it's like
come back to my house
early morning.
The soundtrack has Barracuda. I know, not Barracuda, Magic Man. Heart, Magic Man.
Heart.
And that's one thing with the volume down, you don't hear all the music, but it's some great soundtrack choices for this. Look, Lisa's got her wig off.
Yeah, and she's blonde. And there's smoking in this little Airstream. That's a fire hazard.
Yeah. Look at all of that, the beer they've had between them.
Yeah, too bad I have it on pause because I love Heart. I remember seeing Heart when I was like 14 or 15with a few friends at the Nassau Coliseum.
That was they were great, huge during our high school years. Yeah, Bad Animals.
I was probably, like a sophomore or junior. So that was probably like 87, 88 around there. I was, that was the first concert I went to with my friends. My concert before that I had been to, I was like, I think 11 or 12. And my parents, me and my sister, dragged me to a Hall & Oates concert with their, like, well, take your brother.
Hey. Don't mess with the yacht rock. You know, it's very big here in PTM.
I know.
But back then, there was probably a time where you were ashamed of that. But now it would be very cool for me.
Yeah. You know, Mike seems to be doing – Trent's, like, laying out the lines, and Mike's just sitting there chilling out. He's got his arm around the girl, you know, holding hands.
Yeah, it's the first time you see real smiles from Mike.
Yeah. He's, like, kind of relaxed. You know, You know, it's kind of like in The Wedding Singer. It's kind of like, I know you're shy, but you come upstairs, you're going to get laid. Like if Trent, all Mike has to do is like relax and play it cool, he's going to score. But of course.
Pretty much a sure thing here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's got his arm around her. They're holding hands. One thing I want to point out, Vince Vaughn's got rings on non-traditional fingers. That was a thing.
Oh, yes. You know,
the cool guys were doing.
On your pointer finger. The big
non-traditional. Like, not just your pinky or your ring finger, but you had middle finger rings, index finger rings, not thumb rings so much, but
yeah. That was so 90s right there. That's also what I'm going to love about watching these movies now, because it's like a snapshot back then. I mean, as many times as you see Caddyshack, when you're watching with somebody else, like when I watched it with Scott, it was like, oh my God, I remember this. I remember how about a Fresca, all that stuff. And,
this is a very, very good snapshot of this time. I'd call it the mid-90s.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this came out, what was it, 93, we said?
No, 96.
96, so I was 96,
but
I was 24. Favorite,
like a 98, 99, so.
Yeah, so I was 24.
Everybody gotten out of college, we were in our careers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was actually still DJing at the time. Yeah.
Right on. Well,
yeah, I had I did the 5-year plan, and then I took a year off, and it took me forever to land my first real crappy job.
Mm-hmm. Did you do grad school at all?
No, I should have. I would love to teach like film history or something, but I never did. I should have. I regret it now so much. No, I just, you know, I got my first job 97 as a PA at the Outdoor Life Network.
You're still in that field though.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's now known as the NBC Sports Channel Network. It's evolved over the years. But yeah, here we go.
Did Comcast own it back then? Or
no? Well, no, it was owned by two companies. I think Comcast did. Yeah. So now Trent goes off with the girl, and he's
We know what's up there.
He's getting busy. And
Trent's got game. He's got serious
game, and the girl's got like 1,000 fucking stuffed animals on her bed.
That's kind of like the equivalent of Ferret Girl from The Wrestler. I don't know if you're familiar with that movie.
Yes,
the girl with her ferrets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's probably some daddy issues with this lady.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. And she is so DTF. And then Trent being the boy checks on Mikey's starting to make out. So Trent's like, yeah, I'm good now. My boy is taken care of. Let's get busy. And actually, they're not making out. He's talking about his girlfriend that broke up
with him
after 6 years.
He can't stop talking about his ex. That just kind of puts it's, again, so cringeworthy. You feel for the guy, but you want to just slap him and say, snap out of it, like, share.
I know. You have this pretty girl who's sitting there, you know, she's not looking for nothing. You know, she knows the deal.
She thinks your money.
Yeah, your money, baby. Can I check my? Oh my God, that's like a fart in church. Can I check my messages to see if she called?
Calling cards.
Oh God, yeah. Or was this when 1-800 collect came out and stuff like that?
Yeah. And the gas stations would sell phone cards, you know, yes, with prepaid minutes, so you could just punch it in. Oh man, things have changed so much.
And of course, where's the phone?
Where is the phone? Oh, it's in the room that Trent's in with the other girl. Well, yeah, the other half of the Airstream.
Well, Trent thinks he needs a condom.
Oh, it's pretty good. I forgot about that little detail. That's good.
Yeah, I need to use the phone. Come on.
I have the book, the paperback script of this film. Oh. I thought about bringing it out, but I wanted to be more in the reactions because I haven't seen it in about a year and a half, 2 years. But it's one of those I'll throw on at night if I want something to fall asleep to, because I've seen it so many times. I can't go word for word, but I've seen it at least 20 times at this point. And Mikey over-explains everything, but Trent is furious. Trent's wrapped up in the sheets.
With a pillow. But, you know, he's that's his boy. He's got a...
Yeah, Mikey's the antagonist.
Yeah.
we're the hero. Mikey's just ruining our good time. But it's just so cringeworthy. And that's the kind of stuff that went on, you know, go on to see in The Office. And I'm trying to think some other movies that have that, you know, Forgetting Sarah Marshall's, movies like that, where it's just they're stuck. The character is stuck. And they're embarrassing themselves so much, but you can't look away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, Forgetting Sarah Marshall is it's one of the best cringeworthy movies that it's, yeah, it's like even like literally if I was just flipping channels and Swingers came on and some of these scenes came on, I would like literally like kind of put my hand up like I can't watch this again, this poor guy. And you know what's funny is that this is probably scoring him more with the girl, yeah, actually. You know, and there's Trent going, I'm not getting laid.
Totally backfired on Trent. Yeah. Yeah. But
it's going to be okay, Mike.
And they're driving back home in their Italian t-shirts. Nobody had to work. It's probably, I don't know, about 12 o'clock noon. That's a lonely drive.
Yeah. it's also almost like a waking hangover. It's like I partied last night and now I got to drive home in the morning. Yeah, I've had some rough drives home from like Atlantic City or wherever for bachelor parties or something, and it's just like, ugh, not good. They're 278 miles from LA.
Yeah, they're barely out of Vegas at this point, which is funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like here, like we have the Atlantic City Expressway. It's like, and once you get down that, then you got to go all the way up the friggin' state in New Jersey. And toll after toll after toll, if you've ever been to New Jersey, Todd.
Yeah. No, and I've been to Florida, and it has kind of the same thing, but you got the smart passes you can do.
Oh, yeah, they have we have Easy Pass here in New York, and in Connecticut is about to get tolls again, so we're all very excited about that.
Yeah, we have toll roads only on our bridges, our major bridges, you know, the Bay Bridge connecting Oakland and San Francisco, Golden Gate Bridge connecting San Francisco and Marin County. When you're driving home from the Bay Area, there's a bridge in Richmond you have to pay a toll on. This is, I think it's at $6 this time. But we don't have toll roads. We have toll bridges.
Awesome.
But you can get the smart pass and go through it. But there's still... They're commiserating. They haven't gotten back on the road here. They just stopped and Trent's saying, "You've come a long way."
Yeah. I forgot how long has Mike been out
there?
How long has Mike been out in Los Angeles? They stay in, I think, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember how long he was out there.
It feels like it's 6 months, maybe. I would think it'd be longer just because he has this established group of friends that he's seen. But now they're talking about the X's new man who drives a carriage around Central Park.
Oh,
but yeah, you know, when it's your, say, your first love, you're getting over it. You can't, you just obsess, and who knows how realistic you're being, but you just have it where it just haunts you and haunts you. And you, you'd rather be trapped in that misery, talking about it, trying to get somebody to feel your pain with you, join you in it, than get over with it. And I think everybody who breaks up with their, you know, first college age love, your first grown up love, goes through that. Yeah. Boys and girls, men and women.
Yeah. So yeah, now they're they had a little chat on the side of the road after Trent took a whiz, and now they're heading back to Vegas. And Mikey's like, "I'm gonna get over it. I swear. I promise." Kind of thing.
Yeah.
There we are at the.
Imagine this movie only came out 2 years after Pulp Fiction. This feels like years later.
Wow.
Los Feliz. That's an LA suburb, or not even a suburb. It's in the city. That's a really nice neighborhood, Los Feliz. Walt Disney's old house was in Los Feliz, so it's kind of the high end here, high end of LA, at least not of Bel Air or that. But I'm talking about LA City, Hollywood area. How about that? You know?
Yeah, Ron Livingston wearing a Yale T-shirt.
Have been there,
and then. So two guys playing on the 9-hole par 3. One has a Yale T-shirt. The other one has Queens College.
Queens College. So
and playing, they have four clubs between thinking, the two of them.
Favreau's wearing is that an off color Red Sox cap, or is that Brooklyn Dodgers?
That looks like Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah, I think so too.
Although I think
it'd be more on brand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anybody from New York would be caught dead with a Boston Red Sox hat on.
Right, right. Now, Livingston talking about...
being goofy.
Livingston talking... Yep, that's his big break. He's going to be goofy at Disneyland. That's his thing. You know, taller, thinner, but I don't know if that's an accurate anecdote from him as an actor, or was just what Favreau put in as a screenplay perk. Mm-hmm. But pretty great that, you know, they're talking like that's their big break. Golfing, I don't know. Do you think they've even paid their green? Yeah, they're playing legitimately here. They got their golf shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
Plaid shorts were a big thing back then.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't see them so much now these days.
No.
I forget, Livingston's got a show or was in the show this year on ABC. I think it's got A Million Little Things or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always been a fan.
It's kind of a This Is Us ripoff.
Yeah.
He's a good actor, yeah.
Yeah.
Always associate him and Jennifer Aniston.
Yes, from Office Space. Oh, my God. Here we go. What is this? Is this NHL 94?
Iconic. Yep. Iconic Genesis game,
mm-hmm.
NHL 94. We get introduced to Sue in his Gretzky jersey.
Yes.
Los Angeles Kings. Yes, the old silver and black; those were huge.
Mm-hmm. And they got rid of the fighting. Why'd they get rid of the fighting? That was like the best part of the game. Yeah, Sega was life back
blood
then.
Blood bouncing on the ice. Games were more fun when you could play with your friends. You know, this was this reminds me of dorm days. You know.
Oh yeah. Speaking of Sega, we had NHL 92. I was a sophomore. We had a really big freshman class at the University of Hartford that year, and almost my whole hallway was freshmen. And we every Saturday we had a tournament, and whoever won didn't have to put in for the beer run that night. And we had to beat the same teams, and I was the Kings because the Rangers were already taken by the time I got my pick.
So wrestling games, because I played a lot of wrestling games and basketball games around this time. I'm trying to think, this was still before the PlayStation. And I guess it's right about the time the really good wrestling video games were coming out. But that was the stuff I would play with my friends for the most part. Most of my friends were musicians who didn't play video games, which is kind of funny. So I played you know, Super Nintendo and then the N64 in my room with my...
Oh yeah,
with myself.
I still have my Sega on my N64. I had a lot of I have all like the NWO Revenge Game, No Mercy.
Mm-hmm. That's no, the New Mercy's, and we play it at every tailgate. Mm-hmm. We'll play No Mercy. We'll do Royal Rumbles, and Mark Quare always kicks my ass.
Oh, here we go. And then Vince does a dick move and unpauses it and takes out Gretzky with the blood coming out of his head. And then, oh, here we go.
While
fist fight.
Sue is paying for the food.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, and there's Sue.
This feels kind of Kevin Smith movie to me, but.
Well, you mean Hartford the Whale?
Is that a Reservoir Dogs poster on the wall?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, one of the two biggest Sega things. Ah! And here they come being. Totally racist, basically, to the delivery guy in
basically,
the background.
Basically, Trent.
You know, and Sue.
Is he cute?
Tell him to come in for a cocktail. And saying,
poor guy. You feel for him, but it's just cringy and awkward. But
he's just Mikey's just like, fuck it, take all the money. Here, so I'm sorry. My friends are dicks. Take all the money. I'm sorry. Don't shoot me. He comes in with the food. He's like, you guys are assholes. Yeah, I never noticed the Reservoir Dogs poster up there.
Yeah, I didn't notice. I assumed it was Reservoir Dogs, and then you see it full screen. You know it is.
But, yeah, Michael Madsen.
Yeah, it's one of those little things. Oh, Counting Crows record, too.
Yeah, and Sue's a guitar player. We see the guitar in the background.
Yeah. But he's not in a swing band, but yeah, he's trying to make it in the music.
And you have those cuff jeans.
The rest are all actors. Mm-hmm. With biker boots. Mm-hmm. Here's our first. Are we going to a club here? It looks like we're going to a nightclub. First foray.
Yeah, down an alley. And you could tell Ron Livingston's character is so not from LA because he's got a flannel on. You know, Mikey's dressed like, you know, appropriate for the region. And Rob is not. And they go in the back. Now, they did this guerrilla style, actually, I believe, where they had
I think so, too. I think this is this is right in the middle of a club. No paid actors or extras or anything, yeah. I believe, this scene. Have you ever done a shot like that?
No. No, I'm more – I was more in the – well, I mean, I did do stuff back years ago. You know, when I was in school, we did projects like this where we just went somewhere and started shooting. Almost got arrested shooting a project. They thought we were shooting a mom movie, and they thought we were shooting ducks or something at this place. We were really just shooting the, and we had all this like fake blood on people, and we had fake guns and everything. When the cops showed up, we're like, "What the? Like, well, I swear to God, we all go to Iota Prep. We're here shooting our final project." And here's Alex Dessert with the hat.
Yep. Lifetime of character acting. Mm-hmm. He was on the Flash. What other movies or TV shows has Alex been on? He's had a career as a bit player for years.
He was the blind guy, right? On Becker or something,
right? Malone show, or not Sam Malone, but the that show,
Ted Danson,
Becker.
Yeah. But he, yep. I know him most for being What the hell was it? I'm going to look it up before I say the movie. What his character's name was? Because he's got a different hairstyle in the movie.
He used to wear dreads a lot.
Yeah, he had dreads in the movie. Let me find it. It's back in another 90s movie. I believe it's 90s. Yeah, it was in 1994. Mulaney in PCU.
Huh. Yeah, I remember PCU.
I love that movie, actually.
Yeah, my brother was not an extra in that movie, but a movie called Dead Man on Campus.
Yeah.
Which was from MTV Films about the same, maybe a couple years later.
With Mark but Paul Gosselaar.
My brother was trying to make it as an actor. And so, yeah, he was in that, and he was in Primal Fear. And he's doing acting extra work again. He was in the second Ant-Man. So.
They're talking about Reservoir
Dogs.
Yeah,
that's what PCU makes. Yep. Well, you're obsessed with Tarantino at that point. I mean, he had changed everything for guys like these guys, you know, these film students, acting students. It was a brave new world because Pulp Fiction, I remember just watching movies. I can remember before Pulp Fiction and after Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, and now they're
and here's a Reservoir Dogs tribute shot.
Yeah, I'm surprised Little Green Bag's not playing. I think they're playing, what's that song?
Pick Up the Pieces.
Yeah.
So pick up the pieces.
Now this cracks me up.
We have our mute on, so we don't
know. Yeah. This cracks me up that they all get into their own cars. I've never been to LA, but I understand parking may not be the best. I mean, why would...
Yeah, this is...
Don't you people want to,
this
drink?
Never, ever happen, ever, never, ever happen.
No.
But this like they say, nobody walks in LA.
Yeah. Look at all five cars going around. And they all, and with the exception
Fort
of...
Fairmont.
And with the exception of Trent, they all drive, you know, crappy cars.
Crappy cars. Trent's got a cool car.
He's got a cool car.
Everybody else has a K car.
Like a Corolla or a Sonata or something.
It looks like Charles, Alex Dessert, has a pink Ford. I think it's called a Fairmont. My grandpa had one of these back in 85, 86. Terrible car. Terrible. But, you know, they're all blocky. They're all blocky, flat cars.
Yeah, that was the style.
What was your first car?
My first car was a 1982 Nissan Sentra, blue. I had it for like 2 years, I think.
Yeah, blew a head gasket and you traded up. Remember, you could get rid of a car 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. You know, you were lucky if you got that much life out of a car back then.
Yeah.
My first car was a 73 Chevy Monza. Terrible, terrible car. Had it for $2 and it blew the head gasket.
And they all walk into a party.
Here we are at the party.
Everybody turns.
That's the money move, right? Mm-hmm. The money move is to go into the party together. That's what they decided, right?
Yeah.
Half of this movie is about planning the cool mm-hmm. thing, over planning, right?
Yeah, and then they walk in. They got
to
get
look at them. Yeah, everybody's looking out.
And you go, head right to the bar. Looks like it's been cabaret.
Sensitive ponytail guy.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Trent trying to be like the, the senator trying to. And then there's
looking for the real good stuff.
And there's Charles going for the Glenlivich.
Charles found it. Yeah. Yeah. Charles and Trent are gone. They found the good shit.
Yeah. Now we get the explanation of why Sue's name is Sue.
Well, Johnny Cash song. Yeah. That's I knew that right away, just because my stepdad was a Johnny Cash fan, and he used to say that all the time. My name is Sue. It was just one of his catchphrases. Really weird. My stepdad's name was Gilbert, but he used to say that to us. My name is Sue. How do you do? Weird. I had a weird stepdad. Anyway, he was kind of a trip. He was a diesel mechanic.
Now we have the whole thing.
That's just snowmobile.
Now there's a chick on the
other
side.
So what are we doing here? Yeah, that's right. She's looking at me.
And she's smoking a cigar. That's kind of a turnoff. I don't know.
Kind of weird for... Yeah, but that's a double standard because the guys... back then, we thought that was weird, right?
Yeah.
It's
very rare you see a woman smoking a cigar anyway.
So the girls who played softball at my high school all did chewing tobacco.
Oh, wow.
I know. I'm pretty tough, man.
Actually, a few years before this, I was doing dip. That was the thing, too. In the early 90s.
In couches, like the little...
Yeah. My freshman dorm, I had some guys who were on the rugby team. And those guys, oh, God, they dip like fiends. Oh, my God. Oh, now we get the whole, are you going to be my wingman thing?
Yep. It's real, though. This is really captured what that felt like. Trying to.
Now he sees this. I would just, this chick's got RBF. I would just walk away from her.
Yeah. She's way too thin, too.
Yeah, a little resting
bitch face. She asks him what he drives right away.
That's the first thing he asked? She asked him.
Well, I knew what you meant.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I didn't know.
She looks a little bit.
for the listeners, I explained it.
gotcha. Yeah, you and I know.
Oh, it's on, Mike. It's on. They call her Groucho. Why are you looking at her? Don't look at her.
They're like, oh, now they're turning it into a joke or into a. It's hurtful. That's right. This made me mad at Trent.
It's going to be a layup, man. Come on. You're so money.
They're just trying to hook up. And I don't know. You get the perception that Livingston was taller than all of them because he was goofy, but he looks as short as Favreau here. Trent's the only tall one.
Yeah. And he's probably the only one that could hit on this woman because she's tall.
She's tall. She's wearing a backpack.
Yeah.
That's kind of a red flag run away. If the cigar wasn't, the backpack is.
And she's just over talking too. And he's just kind of like, you kind of get the, like, he's starting to get that, oh, she's a little crazy. Mm-hmm. This is so not worth it. It should be an action. And the Jaws theme is playing.
That's cute. Run away. And yet, it accurately portrays that, you know, when you realize you're in there, in too deep, like, why am I talking to this person? We're getting closer and closer. You know, the shots are going closer and closer to each of their faces. She pulls out, the number move. Oh, it gets his number.
And he rips it up on the way back to his friends.
Look at Mikey's look of horror.
He's like, that's a dick move.
At least he didn't do it in front of her.
Yeah. Yeah. She didn't see it. Come on. Call me.
So out west, Rolling Rock has never really been a brand. Oh. To me, Rolling Rock is kind of like the Maker's Mark. Oh. You know, they pay a lot of money to get into the movies. Because out here, Rolling Rock is never seen in clubs or in restaurants. It's a Pittsburgh, you know, it's a back east thing.
Yeah, I think I was at Webster Hall once. And I was drinking a Rolling Rock, actually. And my buddy all of a sudden decided he wanted a sip of it. But he decided that while I was actually drinking it and went to grab it out of my hand and I chipped a tooth. And I literally smacked him in the middle of Webster Hall. He's like one of my closest friends. I'm like, boom. He's like, what? I'm like, my fucking tooth, you asshole. I'm like, you could say, can I have a sip of your beer? What was that?
Oh, man. Did you have dental back then?
No, it was like a small chip. But I mean, I was still, I think I was underage. So I was still under my parents' insurance at the time. I think I was like 19.
Good. So here's where we go to the real happening spot. Mm-hmm. This is where the action happens because Marty and Elaine are in the club. They are a duo who are playing, ironically, Staying Alive. Yes. In a disco. Not even a disco. You know, what would you call this? Just a lounge or not karaoke, but like, that kind of sound.
Like a crooner style, I guess. Like,
yeah, yeah. Stephen Eady. Look, yeah. Everybody's got the club. Yes. Did you have the club back in the day?
No, I actually didn't. I knew somebody that had the Viper. Viper, it was a little electronic thing that the red light went back and forth. Viper, uh-huh. Armed. I remember I had this girl we hung out with was so drunk one day, and she's like, she saw like a red light on a car. She goes, is that the Viper? Is there a snake going to come out? Because I was in the commercial, the snake would come out. She's like, is there a snake going to come out of that car?
Yeah, I do remember the commercial. Yep. This kind of thing you'd see advertised on Jerry Springer.
Yes.
Or the old, during Bill Maher's late night show, Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher. And yes, here's Marty and Elaine. And they were a real lounge duo that Favreau noticed and brought into the movie. That's their actual, you can buy cassettes.
Yes, cassettes.
For them.
And Charles is like, great. Why are we here? See, I was handling.
This is where the yeah, you wouldn't think that a movie about struggling actors would be essential or relatable, but here it is because everybody can say, you know, you're getting into your career, you haven't made it yet, you're girl crazy, mm-hmm. And this whole thing is they're just trying to score, trying to hook up,
and there's Trent and Sue going in. And there's one girl, the brunette, that's Brooke Langdon. I think the act. Oh, no, this is Brooke Langdon. She was on Melrose Place, yes. I think. And then she's probably her biggest role that everybody knows her from is The Replacements, the Keanu Reeves football movie. Where she plays the head cheerleader that he ends up, falling for, I guess.
I had to teach I Will Survive the other day, and somebody said, oh, that's the movie from The Replacements. Like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's what they sang in jail. So, yeah.
I
is this the...
We're heading towards
is this the Starbucks scene. Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
It is.
The ha-ha hole. he's doing well here at the bar. You know, I think he's just relaxed a little bit. She's just sitting there, you know, having a martini, eating the olives.
Right. She wouldn't talk to him if she didn't recognize him, I think. Yeah. You know, he's lucky that she recognizes him.
Yeah.
He's just so desperate. He just smells of it.
Yeah, and he's just looks away as he talks.
Small talk. Terrible. Horrible.
I served you an espresso. That's right. And then you can't ask me for
you ask me for application. And that's, oh, she remembers. And he's like, yeah, you've got me pegged.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to talk his way out of it. She likes her olives, man, because she's just got another two toothpicks worth.
Oh, you're right. the olive girl.
Yeah.
Mentos. What do you think she's drinking? Just a gin martini?
Yeah.
Vodka martini.
I think it's vodka martini, actually.
Yeah.
Never been a gin guy. My dad drinks Tanqueray.
Well, after this movie, I started drinking Tanqueray and tonic.
Huh? I mean, I've
directly influenced by this movie and the song, and just like, oh, that would be a cool drink to have, because everybody has to have, you know, their own signature cocktail as you go to the clubs. This thing that you know, your own.
Mm-hmm. Now he's starting to get the pep talk from the guys, like, you're in, go in, come on. But also, this is when martini bars became popular, actually.
Yep.
About this time. And like, I remember a buddy of mine got a new apartment, and I also bartended. And he's like, he's telling us he was going to these martini bars. So he, you know, he gets this new apartment. I buy him a martini set. You know, so we get over there, and I open the set, and I, you know, I go in the kitchen, I make him up a nice, you know, gin martini. I hand it to him. He goes, "What's this?" I go, "It's a martini. You told us you've been going to martini bars." He goes, "No, I have whatever the mixed drink. It's basically the mixed drinks in a martini glass kind of thing, like apple teenies and shit." I'm like, what?
Right.
Like, what are Cosmos you? I'm like, what is wrong with apple you? Teenie.
Yeah.
Ugh. I never got into that stuff. Ugh.
No, I think gin and tonic was kind of my thing. And if I was not on a date, I would get a well gin. Mm-hmm. But if it was you're trying to impress, I would get Tanqueray. You know that, or Sapphire. Sapphire and tonic's kind of weird.
Oh, too, Bombay Blue Sapphire.
Gin is, mm-hmm, yeah, different.
That's one thing I learned.
It's striking.
Mm-hmm. I learned that it was like I did actually go to bartending school when I first started bartending. And one of the things the instructor was going over, like, certain brands, and he said, we were talking about gin. He goes, if somebody comes into your bar and orders a Bombay Blue Sapphire, they know they're gin.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I remember I bar backed at a Red Robin. I don't know if you have Red Robin in the North.
Yeah, we have Red Robin. Yum.
So, yeah, I had to learn all those, and that's where I learned about that one and how you remembered what it was.
Yeah. Oh, Mikey got the digits. And he, oh, no, he pretends he's going to.
Yeah, fakes them out, tear down. Nice job, Mikey. That's a small win.
Yeah.
Of course, he looks at the digits and they say 867-5309. But they don't. They don't say that. Yeah. But, oh, no, now they have the kind of the legendary conversation of what's the appropriate amount of time to call before you call.
Yeah, 2 days tomorrow. I want to call now. I want to call 2 days. No, no. Yeah, I'm already
it's the overthinking.
I'm already cringing because I know what's coming.
Yep, the most cringy part of the whole film is coming.
Yeah. Oh God.
We'll probably have to talk about something else there because it's going to be too painful.
Yeah. You know what, Mikey? Your money. Don't be. Don't. If you call too soon, yeah.
Nice baby. It's ready to party.
Mm-hmm. 6 days.
Six days. They say simultaneously, they've got it worked out. Man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're both from LA, so they know the scene.
Oh, Plaid just passed Plaid. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Uh oh. Here goes Sue.
what the hell this guy got on his head?
It looks like a Breaking Bad character.
Yeah.
See, it's kind of like a stocking cap, but it's like longer, like with the reservoir tip.
And this has got Red Hot Chili Peppers right there, like talking off.
And he looks like Flea.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, none of all five of these guys want to throw down. Sue's the only one on this side, but Sue is packing.
Yeah.
Which, whoops.
And the guys all take off.
Oh, man. Meanwhile, Mikey's just like.
Did you see Boys in the Hood?
Look at that wall. Who knew that Sue had a gun on him? I mean, yeah. Every group has a loose cannon, right?
Yeah.
You got the dad, the father figure, to bail you out. Oh, Charles is out. The cooler heads are prevailing and taking off here.
Yeah, and we just got. We just got Mikey and Trent here.
You're not from.
You're not from here, Anaheim. Man. I'm from New York.
So Anaheim is Orange County, rich Republican area where Disneyland, you know.
It's not like you live in Compton here.
Yeah. There's the K-car reference. Yeah. Sue's the hothead of the group.
Is that my dog snoring? It's packed with... Sorry.
Oh, no, it's not your dog. It's my wife.
Oh. Oh, here's the argument.
So the mute button will be applied liberally. Okay.
That's all right. It's fine. It adds character to the show. You know, here's the big blowout now between Sue and Mike. Where it's like, you know.
Yeah, because Mike gets called out on his crap, which is great for the first time the whole movie. Trent's been humoring him and letting him deal with it, but Sue calls him out on his crap, which is kind of appreciated.
Yeah, and Trent's got to be
especially
in the
third or fourth time you've seen this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, though, this Sue didn't have to, you know, hit the guy, like bump into the guy. He could have easily just, like, avoided it. But Sue just looks for trouble, man. He thinks he's a tough guy because he's got a, you know, he's packing. Oh, here we go. Mikey's in the apartment. Checking the messages. And he's sitting there, he's thinking. He's like, oh boy. Yeah,
I dramatized. There's no Johnny Carson at this point. I guess it would be Leno, right?
Yeah, late Leno. Night,
but he doesn't even have a TV, does
he? He might. Oh, 2:30 in the morning. Oh.
Jeez. Been there though.
Mm-hmm.
I was maybe 22 or so, I think. Man, cell phones sure changed our world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, just gotta. Oh, no, he's going for it. He's dialing.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. No.
Oh, you stupid idiot.
Ring. This is Nikki. Leave a message. And should we have a tally? This is message number one.
One.
Leaving
me 6 days. He couldn't even wait 2 hours.
He probably didn't even wait an hour.
Yeah, here's my game. Here's my plan. I have no game. I'm just going to cut through the BS and call you. So if that sounds good to you, call me back. Oh, man. Oh, just throw your phone out your window. You've already done too much, man.
Now, call number two. He's like, crap. He's like, oh, no, I forgot. This is Mike again. Hi. It sounds like
forgot
your machine.
To say.
Before I finish leaving my number.
overthink it. Oh, just. This comes from insecurity and not knowing how much game you actually have. Not having self-awareness. It's awful.
Call number three. Now he's like trying to be, now he's trying to recover. And he's like, oh, I don't want you to think I was weird or desperate or anything.
God.
Yeah, everybody's been there. He hangs up the phone, he walks away. And then much like the
mafia, he must have forgotten something. I like the one shot.
Yeah. Now, this is four. Oh, now he's mentioning the relationship.
Okay, 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Was 6 years with her. And, oh, geez, so, Mikey.
So, 2:30 in the morning, he's left four messages. At?
The same night you call somebody. Here comes five.
Oh, God. Oh. You know, now that I'm actually counting, it's even more painful.
It's more painful. Remember when you'd get the answering machine full or, yeah, you know, it hit the end of the tape?
Oh, God, six.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh.
Yeah, no, this is pulling teeth. It's, yeah, so hard.
Oh.
Imagine.
He's like, I don't think this isn't working out.
This is the first true laugh of this part, you know, that I like. I'm like,
it's,
okay.
It's not me, it's you. Oh, wait.
It's going to be okay because he's.
Now she
oh, God.
She picks up the machine. Now she picks up. Don't ever call me again.
Don't ever call me again.
I guess you were.
I've been lucky never to hear that, but. What a great vignette. That's a fantastic scene that I can only watch every so often.
Yeah, yeah. I'm good for a while now. So painful.
The next day. Yeah, how many days does this film take place over? Or is it just kind of like a snapshot? It's not like it's, you know, Reservoir Dogs or
no,
where you have time that doesn't stop. You know, no, you come and go.
Yeah, I think it's over like a month. Well, it's been 2 days now since Trent's talked to him.
2 days since the Nikki incident.
Yeah. And Mike, this is where Mike is just in his apartment, right? He's in his pajamas. You can see the growth on his face. Where he's now, yeah, he's in full feeling sorry for himself mode, reading letters from her. You know, just he's just a mess. He's going through the box of memories and the pictures. My God, he looks so young. Oh, Jesus.
Full headed, curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just think you're never going to find it again, and you can't stand the thought of that person with somebody else.
Yeah. Oh, so he's such a good actor and filmmaker, though. I gotta tell you.
Yeah, you totally buy into this. You totally, mm-hmm, believe this. Mm-hmm. You know, you wanna. But yeah, I remember Dinner for Five was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That was the next thing he did after this that I recall. Well, what was the Very Bad Things?
Yeah, I think
was the next thing.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Him and Alex Desert were in PCU together. He was a Gutter.
Okay,
where he's unrecognizable because he was heavier. And he had dreads, actually, in that movie. Gutter is a tool. Gutter is a tool. Oh, he finally picks up the phone. Wait, no. He's not going to pick up the phone. Yeah, I mean...
I was thinking of calling his ex.
Yeah. I'm interested to see some of his movies. I think he did The Lion King he's got coming out, I think, this year. He's big.
Yeah, Jungle Book was him.
Yeah, he's big into the technology nowadays, you know.
First two Iron Man movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was the first MCU director.
Yeah.
Trent finally shows up.
No, it's not.
Or is that the other one?
It's Rob, yeah. With some orange juice.
Sonny G.
Yeah, I think he's got like a pepperoni or sausage in the old school thing there. He's got a knife. But you know it's actually one of my favorites and it only came out like a year or two ago was Chef. I don't know if you saw that movie.
Yes, that's a great movie. Yeah, Sofia Vergara, right, mm-hmm, with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a great movie. A divorced dad, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is,
yeah,
that, or does he date? Yeah.
Yeah, they're divorced.
I enjoyed that. I have an eye on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like 3 years old now.
Yeah, something like that. And now his Now, yeah, Rob just happens to be his oldest friend. I mean, Trent may be like his new bestie, but you know, he knows Rob from like years ago back in New York. And he truly knows him.
Right. You know, he's the guy that's going to wait it out and tell you the truth eventually.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, he's the even level-headed one who is going to evaluate everything before he tells you one way or the other. He's going to listen and not judge, but he says, you have one friend who gets you into good places, and then you have one friend who's going to always have your back. This is the friend that's going to call you after you've alienated or pick you up after you've alienated everybody else at the club, which has happened to me before.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the funny thing goes, you should call that Nikki girl. It's been 2 days.
Nice callback.
And turns out he got turned down for Goofy. He didn't have enough theme park experience.
More theme park experience.
Yeah, but he just spells it out. You know, you tell me your life sucks, that means mine's god awful. You know, you were my inspiration to move out here and see how well you're doing. So, what the fuck am I going to do?
Yeah, if you lose your objectivity to know where you really stand, you know, who looks up to you or who thinks highly of you, you're done. And, you know, he reminds Mikey that people do admire him and that you look at what you don't have, not at what you do have.
Mm-hmm. And Mike's just like, why won't she call?
No. Like, you put it all your eggs into that basket, that ex-girlfriend basket. Mm-hmm. That's the only person who's going to snap you out of this. It's your problem at this point. You know, I'm talking to myself at this point, telling 90s Todd to just, you were so obsessed with this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and Rob actually knew his ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, you know what? I love the girl, but fuck her. You got to move on with your life. You know, you moved out here. She left you. That's it. Wake up. That's, come on. This is your life. You can't be sitting here being miserable and feeling sorry for yourself. I mean, it sucks, man, getting over this stuff.
Yeah. And, I know guys who are older that go through breakups like this, and they think it's never coming again. Like, that, there was their shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. So you were late 30s when you got divorced, if I can go there?
Yeah. Well, we could briefly talk about
I don't want to get you in trouble or anything.
No, I was actually, I was over 40.
So, okay.
Yeah, you go through stuff. I mean, it was over for a few years before, mm-hmm. we actually became official, so I was kind of already, moved on in my head. Although it was tough, to get back out there, and eventually you do meet somebody. And I was lucky enough to meet somebody 2 years ago, so I'm in a good place now. So you go through that, and you see Mikey now is starting to bring it back a little bit.
All cleaned up. He seems to be a little bit more relaxed, shaved, and look who's there playing video games with Sue.
I
love it.
Yeah, the LA whatever guys and drinking 40s and all that. Some Bud.
Yep.
And my New York.
You ever had a 40?
Oh yeah, I'm from New York. I've had plenty of 40s.
Okay.
You go to bodega.
Vicky's.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, God.
So Sue apologizes here to Mikey.
Yeah, bought him some chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles. Holy cow. That was years before people knew about chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are any luminaries in this crew of people, but some of them look like they could be musicians,
Yeah. Could be just local guys that he knew of. They talk it out.
Guys from the crew.
Yeah, they talk it out. We're better friends, man. Come on. Let's hug it out, bitch. All right. Do the classic man hug at all on the back. Just keep your shit together, man. That's all right. And then they're smack talking. That's the best part about playing video games with your buddies, though, is the smack talk.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
my kids fight when they play.
I'm in. We have a little PTBN Madden League going, and there's a few guys in it. And I'm like, none of us have headsets though. Well, Jordan has one, and I actually just bought one just so I can smack talk with him next time I play him.
All you have to do is drop LeBron James references. You'll be
talk about Kane.
You'll hurt some feelings.
And they're on the way to go see Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. They're all dressed up, you know. You know, they got the whole wallet chain thing going. Look at that. All three of them. It's like they have a uniform. And they go through the back door, you know, Trent's like, you know, knows everybody. Hey, what's going on, man?
Well, this is a Goodfellas homage. They had talked about the Goodfellas shot. Mm-hmm. So this is the Steadicam homage to it. Yeah. Much lower budget, but this is great. Once you realize what's going on here, because, you know, the first couple times I saw this, I didn't get this, but they've talked about that shot in this film, much like the Reservoir Dogs thing. Mm-hmm. So to get that kind of an homage to the greatest shot in movie history, the Goodfellas Coco Cabana shot, they go through the kitchen. Oh, it's great. And I didn't get it at the time, you know.
And Goodfellas only came out, what, like 5 or 6 years before this?
Yeah, 1990.
Yeah. So I remember I was a freshman in college when that came out.
I was working at a video store when that came, and it never was available because I was keeping it at home. I loved that movie so much. I did see it in the theater, but once I you know, I was a Scorsese guy from Taxi Driver. I'm trying to think of the other stuff I liked of Scorsese's before Goodfellas. Mm-hmm. But I saw Goodfellas, it was, that was the greatest film ever made. And here are swing dancers for the first time in the movie.
Are you excited for The Irishman?
It's on Netflix. I'm very excited about it. Where do you think I'm going to talk about it? I am excited about it, although I'm kind of worried because Pacino's a cartoon character at this point.
Yeah. And Pesci hasn't done anything in years. Anything
not in a long time. But they're all still alive. You might as well try.
Yeah. And they're
De Niro. You want to see De Niro exposed, watch him. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. Watch De Niro on SNL. It's so sad.
Yeah. So they're playing You and Me and the Bottle Makes Three tonight, I believe.
Big hit. Big hit. Signature song from this movie, I think.
Yeah. Actually, you may hear it at some point on this show.
There you go. What's it going to be?
There you go.
Gin and Talking Sounds.
Might have gone to me.
I was in a band that covered this song. You know, when this came out. So it was an easy song to play and to capitalize. And, you know, you got people dancing. Mm-hmm. But, it takes you back.
Yeah, they all got their drinks.
So what's Mikey drinking there? That looked like brown liquor.
Mikey's a Scotch man.
So Trent's got his martini.
And then Sue's got his Budweiser.
Sue had a beer.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell as they just drink more and more and more and more glasses. There's, you know, why did you call me? You know, the girl starts showing up at the table, and you know, Mikey.
And Trent is starting stuff. Oh, it's great! Yeah, he's ribbing her, egging it on. Another girl, different girl, shows up talking to Mikey.
Mikey's like, "Nah, I think I'm gonna go for a walk here." And Trent's just
nobody
totally
compares.
Selling Sue
nobody
out. Yeah.
So Mikey approaches the bar, and here he sees does he see it yet or not yet?
Not yet. He's scanning.
He sees something at the bar. Because he's a big bear with claws, right?
Yeah. He sees it. Yep. How could you not?
There she is.
Oh, I had a crush on
Heather Graham. The luminous Heather Graham.
I had a crush on her since License to Drive. I love her.
So I don't think I noticed her until Boogie Nights.
Ah,
well, and even though I had seen this film technically before Boogie Nights was the one that I said, there's the bunny. There it is. there's the he's the bear and she's the little rabbit. But yeah, Boogie Nights was the first thing I noticed her in. And I went back and saw that she was in this. I'm like, oh, okay. I know that's where she's from. Mm-hmm. And she just perfect match for him. Just great, great presence in the movie. And one scene, really?
Yeah. Yeah, she's been great in a lot. She's had some smaller movies over the last few years. I mean, she did She showed up in The Hangover. Really funny part, actually. You know, she did a little thing on Scrubs. That's kind of a psych doctor, I think. And now here's that kind of like awkward thing. You want to talk to a girl, and you kind of like look at her. You kind of slowly talk, and hopefully that she'll be receptive. I'm Lorraine, like the quiche.
Yeah.
That's a
never heard that before. It's like, oh God, here we go again.
I thought real men didn't like quiche. Oh, I see my reputation preceded me. And this is like Mikey actually just
pretty good.
Mikey just kind of just is himself here. You know?
Yeah.
And he like relaxes. And there's obviously you could tell by the amount of glasses and bottles on that table that Trent and
Sue. They're really drinking.
They're really fucked up. Yeah. I mean, they just did another shot. And Mikey just sits down and starts having a conversation with this girl. You know?
So, and she's in the business too.
Yeah, sort of.
Because everybody they talk to is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How hard it is. And she sounds like she went through something similar. You know, she had a breakup and, you know, moved out to L.A. You know, she's been.
He says he's starting to get over it.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, so they're all so happy and they're almost crying. God bless.
Our little baby's all grown up. He's all grown up.
Yeah.
I still say that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're so money, baby. I'm the asshole. I love that. Yeah, they have such good chemistry.
He's talking about. Yeah, they really do. But she's so good. She's good in everything. And, you know, we think about Spy the Shagged Me, right?
Yes.
Greg Phillips' favorite films.
Felicity Shagwell. That's right, yeah.
Felicity Shagwell.
Shagged very well.
My reputation.
Not if I could help it.
Yeah.
Then she asked him to dance.
And this is the ace he had up his sleeve. He's like, nobody knew that he could dance.
Yeah. It's on. Oh, it's so like, fucking on.
And here.
I think
every college guy, or not college guy. Zoo is so wasted. But yeah. Everybody took dance lessons after this. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh.
And he goes on. And
I have a thing.
And it's safe because it's a slow song. You know, anybody can dance to a slow song. You know, it's the fast ones that kind of fuck you up. And believe it or not.
No kidding.
And the slow song comes to an end. They're only up there for like a minute or so.
Yeah.
It's a little awkward.
That's like every high school dance. Oh, Dipper. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, the music picks up, and she's like, wait, where are you going? And he's like, go, Daddy-O.
Also on the soundtrack album. Mm-hmm. I had the soundtrack CD for this, and then there was more Swingers, or there was a sequel to it. Oh. They had even more songs that kind of were on this album, were on this soundtrack.
Now, as cringeworthy as the answering machine scene is, this scene just is so perks you up because you just see Mikey just, you know, he relaxes.
Watch his eyes.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know.
And he changes for you. Mm-hmm. He becomes himself. He, you realize, he has something here that he didn't, you know. Yeah. He's probably never even danced with a girl out in L.A.
Yeah. You know. He's like, hey, look, I'm doing something. And she seems to be.
How do you not fall in love with her?
I don't know. And she does not take her eyes off of him once in this whole scene, right? Well, at least on the dance floor, at least.
Now, this is a classic scene. This is a great, great dance. My goodness. More big, bad voodoo daddy. They have a lot of horn players.
Yeah. Most of those bands do, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, standard bands out here, you'll have one trumpet, one sax, one trombone.
Okay.
And then if the sax player needs to play different horns, you know, tenor, alto, whatever, he'll trade. But here we Keys will pick up the rest of it. I think there was really an allure to having a big, you know, big 40s style brass band where you have four or more horn players. That's an awful lot. There were working bands in Sacramento in the 90s that would have that many and they'd have all the charts, but nowadays there's no money. There's no money in bands in Sacramento or Northern California unless you're a big touring band or a big cover band, and all those guys have agents and people to rig, so they try to keep it to like a five-piece band with keyboards that play most of it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, play most of what the horn would be playing. Because every other musician in the band is another cut that you don't get.
He's in right there, man.
There's a real dip. He's thinking about it for a second. There it is.
Yeah.
Great scene.
Mm-hmm.
Trent is openly weeping.
Yeah. Now he walks her to her car.
This is it. Oh. Yeah. Which one's yours? That's how I always remember. Which one's yours? Piece of shit over there. So it's you. But yeah, look at him. Mikey's all grown up.
Yeah. You know, he makes plans with her. You know, he doesn't overplay. He plays this actually almost perfect.
Yeah, he doesn't say, I'm going to call you six times tonight.
Yeah, I think he learned his lesson there. You know, I want your number.
He finds his business card. Yeah, he's not ashamed to give her his bit.
Mm-hmm. You're a comedian. Oh. Can I see you? Well, depends when. If I get a gig, I'll call you.
Yeah, come see me Monday night at the open mic. I have a good friend who's a comedian in town, Sacramento, and he will always be an in-town Sacramento comedian, yeah. I think. He'll play the Bay Area once in a while and get opening gigs that place, but I think if you haven't made it by a certain point and you're willing to tour and do all the stuff or relocate to Vegas or LA or New York, right?
Yeah.
The hot places, you know, you just got to hope you catch lightning in a bottle. Somebody hears your podcast or something.
Yeah.
It's
harsh. I did it briefly in college. I didn't really, yeah, mostly on campus, but you know, I did okay. I mean, you know, I have some good bits back from back then, but you know, once I started learning, like, you know, I took time off. I did it, and then I'm like, oh, let me write some new stuff. And then I didn't really get back into it. Then I really learned what it took, and I was like, I wasn't willing to do the commitment, you know, going all the clubs all over. My grandmother used to say to me, Andrew, you're so much funnier than that Steinfeld. You should go be a comedian.
Steinfeld.
Nice. Yes. So yeah, and
yeah.
Back to Mikey. He doesn't.
At least you had that. That's
yeah,
important.
Yeah, but he doesn't overplay. She's got the club in her car.
Yep.
But he doesn't go in too soon for a kiss, which is a good thing.
Nope.
You know, just says goodnight. There's a gentleman.
Plays it right. Smiles. But he's money.
Yeah.
He's still, you know, he's confident and
make sure
not being creepy at all. Just being cool. Oh, she's got a cool car.
Mm-hmm.
She's got an old Mustang.
Yeah. And now he's the sober one. Now, we've all been there. We've all been that one sober guy that's got to take their drunk-ass friends to a diner. And there's Sue and Trent.
We've all been to that WrestleMania where everybody was drunk but you. Greg Phillips had to take you to Waffle House.
Yeah, I heard the stories of Nick Duke and Arlington today from Mr. Criscolo.
Well. I was right behind him, and I was almost as drunk. But Scott's never been. You know, Scott's only heard it secondhand. But let me assure you that he's not far from true. But Orlando was worse for me. I think Orlando was my come to Jesus moment. I don't know what happened there, but I drank too much. But at least I got it out of my system before the show started.
Yeah,
Nick was out during the first half of that whole that 4 hour. How long was that WrestleMania? 7 hours. He was out for 4 hours of it.
Oh, I remember watching that. Oof, it was painful. So now they're recapping the night here. You know, Trent orders two breakfasts. Mikey's just got a cup of coffee and there's Sue with a piece of cheesecake. And Trent's like, oh God, what am I going to do? And now they start trying to give him the advice.
Yeah,
again.
L.A., you have, oh, God, again. And now they're fighting amongst themselves about it. She's like, he's like, I know, I got it. We don't have a lot of these hole-in-the-wall diners in town, but we have Denny's, unfortunately. Yeah. Denny's, and we used to have Lions. We don't have Lions anymore.
And he gives a second
to the rando.
I've had friends do shit like that. And I've had friends do this, where he just gets up. Our little boy is growing up, making a scene in the middle of the diner.
Go. Yeah, here's the dance.
Mm-hmm. Tell you, Archie's got none on him.
But, you know, he has a flare-up with Sue, and he has a flare-up with Trent.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm the asshole, right? I'm out of here. I wouldn't eat here anyway if you paid me. And Mike goes home. And do we see a painful scene again?
We see, actually, you know, the crucial moment.
Yeah.
Of he has... He's changed, and then something happens that yeah. he has an opportunity to do something about. Now, we won't spoil it, is it? Yeah. It's coming up.
Yeah,
I like the song, too. I like cake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the answering machine is a character in this film.
Yeah, it actually is. It's 2:43, so it's actually 11 minutes later than it was when he called Nikki. But he just puts the number down.
Put it away. There you go.
Go to bed, Mikey. Go to bed. Nice job. Next day, you know, wakes up in his crappy apartment. Wakes up at 12:53 in the afternoon. Oh my! I don't remember the last time I slept to that late on the day.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I slept in past 8.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes I tell my son sometimes 9 o'clock. Don't wake me till 9.
Yeah,
and I get
leave me alone.
And I hear all I hear is Super Smash Brothers or God or whatever coming from the living room.
Very rarely. I think it's more a function of my age. I got to get up and pee.
Yeah.
In-N-Out burger true. Shirt. In-N-Out, very California.
Never had that. Love to try it. So the date is now.
I am a big fan of fries and all that. Oh, here we go. We have our 2 days. There
it's
it is.
December 11th. He tacks it up December 14th or 13th?
Oh, he's going 3 days.
Oh, okay. So the phone's ringing. And it's Michelle, the woman who dumped him. She finally calls.
That's the way it works, man. Yep. When you stop thinking about them, when you've moved on or something else is in the picture, that's when they come back.
Yep.
It's like they have cameras on you, man.
Yeah, so this is a... You know, I don't know. You're kind of like you're the whole time you're sitting there going, Mike, don't do it, Mike. You just met this nice girl.
He's getting validation here.
Yeah, and
she's like she confesses to him that she was exactly the same way about mm-hmm. the whole thing.
Yeah.
That sucks. That sucks. And yet, he gets it out of his system, and then. He hangs up on her before she can finish saying I love you, which is my favorite part.
Yeah.
But I never got a call like this. Did you ever get a call like this after your hard breakup? I never got a call like this.
No.
There's always me making the uncomfortable call, just saying, oh, I found this, or...
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I did so much... I sabotaged... After the tough breakup, I would sabotage any chances... Of ever getting back together by just not handling it well.
Yeah.
By being not psycho stalkery, but just, you know, not having any control over my tongue or
mm-hmm.
this is I haven't been single in a long, long, long time. But you know, it was this era.
Yeah.
It was the last time I was single for an extended time and dealing with breakups and here I am.
Yeah.
Like just getting it out. Watch him. He's externalizing all this. Like, I have to take this call.
Yeah.
I have to. It could be work, right?
Well, Lorraine calls and he's like, oh, wait, hold on. Lorraine, no, I got to call you. And then he interrupts. He's like, okay, I got to go. I love, bye.
And he hangs up on her and boom.
No, it's okay. I wanted to talk to you.
And he's more excited. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause
the new freshness, the new hops.
And Lorraine, you know, basically says something he would say. I should have waited for my friend somebody 2 days, but now I decided to call you, and it's, you know, Sinatra's day, birthday, blah, blah, blah. And he just has this, like, look on his face, like, you know, this is
I have a soulmate.
Yeah, basically. She's as awkward as I am.
And then my favorite line in the whole thing is, like, well, why didn't you call her back? Why didn't you do this? And it didn't occur to me.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me. Mm-hmm. So I say that now, you know,
yeah.
if I want to send a certain cue about something, it didn't occur to me.
Mm-hmm.
When absolutely it occurred to you, you just made the conscious choice. But
and we have a hungover Trent.
Yeah, very much so. Very hungover.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't occur to me.
Yeah.
We're getting so old. These guys, they look so young and fresh in their 50s now.
Yes, baby faces. And you know, they're playing dads now and stuff. And
yep. Did you see season 2 of True Detective with Vince Vaughn?
No, I've actually never watched any.
He was okay.
Season
1's fantastic.
He just showed up in Fighting with My Family.
Oh, right on. Yeah, he was the WWF trainer, or WWE trainer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's basically playing Bill DeMott.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's Bill DeMott per se, but he's not berating him anyway. So now he sees this, like, hot, you know, redhead with, you know.
He thinks she's flirting with him.
Yeah. Because she's
is
like,
it Christina Hendrick? No, it's not. It's just some bubble-headed.
Is it Bryce Dallas Howard? Well, no, wait, no.
Nope. No, we're thinking a little older. This looks like a woman in her 30s or late 20s.
Mm-hmm. Stop, Mike.
It sure looks like she's looking at him at this point.
Yeah. And he starts to play back with her.
Come on, you little party girl.
Okay. He gets a napkin, like he's the like little baby. Like, oh, you want to play peekaboo? I'll play peekaboo with you. It's a little fun little baby. So
it's great.
And then she gets up. She's coming over here. Play it cool. Like, come on.
What's all that on his hand? Is that like club ID stuff?
It's got to be.
Okay. Yeah.
And she picks up a baby. She was actually doing baby business. And Mike just has this, like,
he can finally hold something about over him. You know?
Kind of like almost like a shitty grin. Trent's like, so you called her, right? What were we talking about? And Mike's just like, you're more of a loser than I am. Come on, man. And we go to Trent's.
Movie basically starts in a diner with Rob and then ends in a diner with Trent. And you see the journey of Mikey. I like thinking about it this way. You know, mm-hmm. You don't think about the bookends of a movie or the shots of it
mm-hmm.
when you're watching it for the first time as a kid in your 20s.
But,
you know, I've seen enough movies. You get really nice closure on this. So we made it.
Yeah. Awesome job.
We have Bobby Darin, right? Bobby Darin singing, I'm Beginning to See the Light.
Yeah. Oh, good movie, though.
Yeah. It holds up. It's definitely of its time, but I have a big soft spot in my heart for this film because it represents me at a time, even though I wasn't an actor or swing dancer in L.A. in the mid-90s. I definitely had a breakup like that and had friends of all different ilks that helped get me through it. And then eventually, you know, you wake up and you're done with it. It's over. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Great soundtrack, you know, like we've talked about many times through it. And yeah, it's like one of those movies that, you know, you throw in every so often and it kind of just brings you back. And all those memories of that time period come up, you know, especially if you're somebody our age.
Yeah, you know, Nick Duke was 7 years old when this movie came out, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can only...
So there's that.
I can only imagine.
There's different generations.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Jenny was probably a 2. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know how old Jenny is, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Probably.
And D'Amato was in his 40s already.
Yeah. See,
He's gonna.
I gave him a hard time, but if there was a guy, if there was a Place to Be Nation member that I needed to be, that I needed to be Rob for me from this film, it'd be D'Amato.
Yeah,
honestly, he's gives me good advice. If he knows I'm struggling with something, he does check in on me and says really good things to pick me up. So, you know, he's not my Trent, but he's more of my Rob, I'd say, at this group.
Yeah, this is, and I got to tell you, I've been in this group only for a short time, but I mean, it's a great group already. And finally, excited to meet a lot of guys coming up at Mania. I'm a little disappointed you're not going to be able to make it, Todd. You know,
it's beyond my control.
Yeah.
Hoping to, you know, I've been to the last four Manias. I was hoping to keep my streak alive, but I was never going to catch Mark Clare's streak anyway.
How many has Mark been to?
At least 12 in a row, I believe.
Holy shit. Wow. This is only going to be my second WrestleMania. The last one was WrestleMania 20. So 16 years between Manias. You know, my daughter was a baby, was one the last time I went to WrestleMania. Now she's almost 17.
You saw the last Mania in the Garden. My goodness.
Yeah. I ran into Scott Criscolo that night, actually. Him and I, you know, were only maybe acquaintances then.
Huh.
And we had a mutual friend. One of my closest friends, he was friends with my friend's roommate's brother up in Providence. So that's how they met. So yeah, it's fun. I'm very excited though. You know, my son's into wrestling now. He'll be 12. He turns 12 on April 1st. So, you know,
you get to take him to Mania.
I'm taking him to Mania. Yeah. I'm going to NXT, you know, with the guys solo, 'cause there was an extra ticket, but yeah, me and him and to Mania going to tailgate. So, you know, I will be stone cold sober.
Changes things.
Plus, I have to drive that night anyway, so I got to be responsible. But yeah, it's going to be a long day. but a fun day.
If I look back at my time in New Orleans last year, I had promised my son that I wasn't going to go to another Mania without him because he's really into the product. He really is. And then I thought, New York, with just me and him in New York and kind of winging it and not having done this before, not knowing who's going to be there or having a host. I said it'd be easier for me to do it by myself and go, and then opportunity presented for me to do it really cheaply for me solo. And so I made plans, and then in thinking about it with my family, talking about it, it just wouldn't be right to not go without him.
Yeah.
But to take him would be really, really expensive because then, you know, I can't just sleep on Johnny's floor or something like that. I have to go get and double tickets for everything, double. So I don't want to do it without him anymore. So we're making plans to go to Tampa next year together.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going because I don't even know how far I am, but I'm like an hour or so away from MetLife where I live, even though I'm two states away. But
that's nothing. Although that parking lot will be a traffic jam.
Oh yeah. Well, I used to have my father had Giants tickets in the old. We had season tickets in the old Giants Stadium. You know, and then when MetLife came around, would have been $40,000 to keep the tickets for the PSLs. So my father's like, you know what? I'm not giving him a dime. And now they're wearing our season tickets. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it, though. It'll be a good time, you know, and maybe I'll make it to Tampa. I don't know how likely that will be. Yeah. But
who knows?
You know, my parents have a place in Fort Myers, so that's only 2 hours away. So maybe maybe I could try to swing it where I go, you know, go stay there and then just drive up for the show. Oh,
right on.
Yeah, maybe.
One of my favorite people lives in Fort Myers. One of my favorite podcasters. That's kind of, he calls it Cocoonville.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Yes. You are. There's not a lot of people understand. My parents actually, you know, when they're up here in New York, they're like, you know, they're old, but they don't act that old. When they're down, when I've been down there with them, it's like, oh, let's go to dinner. I'm like, it's 4 o'clock. You eat dinner at 6:30 up in New York. Goes, it's different out here. I'm like, okay, whatever you say, Dad. But yeah, it's going to bring a close to our viewing pleasure tonight of Swingers. Again, like, awesome choice, Todd. What do we got coming up here on a Place to Be Nation? You know, you're the manager here on the Pop Feed.
I am the manager. Maybe we will change that title eventually because manager is so limiting for what I do.
Yes.
It's like is Vince McMahon just an announcer?
No, I'm just kidding.
feeling kind of full of myself right now. No, we got lots coming up. We are continuing the Hard Traveling Fanboys. That's a podcast that I produce. We have just reached our third anniversary show, episode 154, that featured nothing but the karaoke stylings of one Jim Ross on
wow.
it. So I don't know if you've ever heard the Jim Ross segments of the Hard Traveling Fanboys. We are going to do the best of Jim Ross
wow.
on episode 154. I believe that came out just the last week of March or the first week of April. Actually, it was the first week of April. So
wow.
Well, that will have been out. I'm doing lots of stuff with Russell Sellers, the DC for You, and his post-crisis management. But Binge Please is kind of the thing I'm putting the most energy into, getting this show to where it's at every couple weeks, because that's where there's streaming show news and recommendations for me to talk about. So yeah. I'm trying to do an every 2 week show with Binge Please that I host, and then trying to finish out this run of Conversation Comics with Tim Capel, where we do talking about the X-Men. I have maybe four more episodes to try and knock out before we get to the end of this run, and really enjoying doing it with Tim, but I want it to go on forever.
Yeah.
That's a once a month thing. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have my cavalcade of shows that mm-hmm. I try to rotate.
You do.
Yeah. I mean, looking forward, looking back, that's more of a, as you know, the calendar dictates kind of show. You know, it's primarily become a movie show, but you know, I will do looking to do sports episodes at some point. But my last episode just went up with Scott Criscolo and Jenny Smith. We looked back. It was only looking back, and we looked at the movies that came out this past fall and winter. So we talked about stuff like, you know, Star is Born, Halloween, Aquaman, Bumblebee, Harry Potter, Green Book. Yeah, we talked about Green Book. I was the only one of the panel that saw it, but, you know.
I'm kind of not surprised by that yeah. one, but we'll talk
great,
about that
great
later.
Movie. And then also Great Debate. I try to do that monthly. I haven't booked the April show yet. I haven't booked any guests, so I can't really say when that's going to come out. And then, you know, Laughing Theater, you'll see these pop up every so often. I just did an episode with Mr. Glenn Butler. We watched History of the World Part 1, the great Mel Brooks comedy from 1981, one of my favorite all-time comedies, actually. I said it's up there with Blazing Saddles and probably Spaceballs as my favorite Mel Brooks movies. You got a favorite Mel Brooks movie, Todd?
Well, Blazing Saddles, I think, but Young Frankenstein...
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
is hard for me to... because it's done in a certain style... Mm-hmm. It has characters, actors that were only in that movie. You know, Cloris Leachman was only in that movie. I do like the producers too, but it's Blazing Saddles and then Young Frankenstein. And I'm doing actually a streaming episode or a Binge Please episode that will talk about Young Frankenstein pretty soon.
Ah.
And why it's kind of a controversial thing. So, not even controversial, why it's a relevant topic for streaming. So,
oh.
Be looking for that in the near future.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. And then also back to looking forward, looking back, coming up April, right before Avengers Endgame comes out, I have a big summer movie preview episode planned. I have some guests confirmed right now. Scott Criscolo, Jennifer Smith, Miranda Berthold, and Tim Capel are all confirmed. Trying to get some more on there. Basically, we're going to look ahead to everything that's coming out this summer. Also, we're going to do something kind of kind of taking from other podcast websites that have done this. We're going to do our own Place to Be Nation version. We call it the Summer Movie Wager. And it's basically you have to pick the top 10 movies in order of how they're going to finish in a domestic box office race. So everybody that's on the show, the wager is going to be whoever wins gets to pick any movie. Well, you know, let's, you know, keep it clean, but any movie that they want to do a live watch of, and the rest of us have to do it, and we do that, and
we record it.
So if you want to watch the whatever worst movie that you know ever was ever made, or suffer through a really bad Katherine Heigl movie or something, that's what we're gonna do. And then for those of you who are not on the show but you're gonna participate, you're and if you're not one of our regular podcast hosts, the contest is whoever wins that gets to pick any comedy, and they can come on an episode of Laughing Theater, and I will watch it with them, and we'll do a live watch. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to take the whole summer to figure out, and after Labor Day, we'll have our results. So let's get some good participation up on there. And then
if you won the summer movie wager, what would you inflict on somebody else?
Oh, I have plenty of time to think about that. You know, as the summer goes, I think probably like August is when you start to probably think about it. You know, when you kind of like see how it's starting to shake out. I mean, there's little tricks that, you know, you need to learn about this. You know, everybody's going to put Endgame first. There's no doubt about it. But then it's like, oh, where am I going to put Lion King? Where am I going to put, Spider-Man? Where is Toy Story 4 going to go? You know, those are the kind of the hard decisions that's going to make or break people in this contest. And then we're actually going to have a little bonus in there, pick your biggest bomb. So I have a couple of choices in mind for that. But it's, I'm really looking forward to doing this with everybody, you know. And just, it's all about fun. That's all we try to do here is have fun.
Bomb. Yeah. Did you know that Godzilla was created by the A-bomb?
Yes.
Speaking of the bombs and Godzilla and bombs and Godzilla. Anyway.
Right out of nowhere.
Foreshadowing.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. Godzilla, was it King of All Monsters, comes out this summer?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That looks really cool, actually. I don't think that's going to be a bomb.
It doesn't look bad, does it? And they have Mothra and Rodan in there, so that could be kind of fun, yeah, if it's done right.
It's the kind of thing that everybody's really wanted for years, and we're finally getting this big modern throwdown. And it's all going to lead up to, what is it called, King versus...
Yeah, Kong versus Godzilla, but yeah. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah,
we thought we had good Godzilla movies coming our way before, so I've got to just kind of take this one with a grain of salt, although the trailer looked awesome. It really did.
All right, cool. And also, don't forget, like all of our Facebook pages out there. We have pages for Great Debate, Place to Be Nation, The Place to Be Podcast, Main Event, Geek and Sassy. We're on the Twitter. We're on Instagram. Go to Pro Board at bigelow34.proboards.com. Participate in our greatest WWE televised match project. We have lots of other great conversations going over there. Like and subscribe. Give us rate us on iTunes so we can get some more ears and eyes on our stuff over here at Place to Be Nation. And the candy tournament. Let's have that good, because we have more tournaments planned down the road. So pay attention to the socials and have fun. So Todd, I want to say thank you for taking time out of a night and watching Swingers with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for staying up till 1:30 to talk movies with me.
Yes, well, my time, it's only 10:30 over there for you. And
yeah.
The lovely town of Sacramento, which I've never been to, but I would like to get to Northern California one time in my life.
Sacramento's okay. I kind of equate it to San Antonio, Texas. You know, there are bigger cities, but there's a really nice balance of all kinds of different things. Huh. You know, we're a state government-driven town, but there's a lot of farm-to-fork and corporate business here, too. Medium, not too big, and there's really nice suburbs, so, and the weather's wonderful.
All right. Awesome. So, once again, thank you, Todd. For Todd Weber, I am Andy Afton. Thank you for joining us on Laughing Theater. For now, the theater is closed, so we'll see you at the next showing.
I think I need another drink. What do you mean it's last call? I just got pissed.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. We dive into the topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports. brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.